Welcome back, Fireside Faithful. All you listeners out there, that's
What's
a new
that,
name.
Sean?
It's a
What's
new
that?
Name I'm trying out. So
Fireside Faithful.
Fireside Faithful. Let me know. You like that one? All 17 of you out there listening?
This sucks.
So we just finished up game week 20. We saw Man U had a nice tie. We saw City is maybe back, question mark.
Perhaps.
So we're going to talk about some of that stuff today. Talk about a couple players for you as well. Looking forward to week 21. Dave, Phil, how are you guys doing?
Feeling good.
Best tie of my life.
Yeah? You really happy about that?
Yeah.
Love that.
They played in a swamp, but which probably helped us. But
honestly, the slowing of the pace of play definitely helped them.
Yeah.
Were you out skiing during the game? Or did you get to watch it?
No, I watched it. I watched the whole thing.
Nice. Love
that for
you. Classic VAR, right?
No, yeah. I watched it on my phone and in the goggle.
Absolutely disgusted by the refereeing.
People are like, oh, football soft, that's not a red card.
Did you have a couple adult beverages while watching, Dave?
I sure did.
Oh, you were probably super excited.
I was the only person excited about that.
Did those adult beverages turn you into what Phil was last week? The next day?
Oh, that was rough.
Well, no, I have hair on my chest. So
ooh.
No.
Ooh.
When's the last time you had a Four Loko?
That's a fair point.
That's true.
Yeah, I thought so.
All right, Dave.
Bang, bang, we're back.
Boys are back.
Happy New Year.
Boys are back. Yeah, Happy New Year, 2025.
2025 is the year of Fireside.
The year of the Fireside. Dave, transfers. Hit us.
Yeah, so the transfer market does a really nice job this week of like previewing everything else we want to talk about.
Love that. Love it when a plan comes together.
Yeah.
So we definitely want to talk about Newcastle because they're lighting it up right now. And we'll get to that, but three of the top four transferred in players this week are Anthony Gordon, Lewis Hall, and Alexander Isak. And I don't feel like there's a lot to say on all those guys. Isak is on fire. Hall has been in really good form for a number of weeks now. Pretty much the same as Anthony Gordon, too. So all three of those guys are definitely guys you want on your team. Favorite of the podcast, Brian Mbeumo, is the second most transferred in player this week.
Mm-hmm.
Goals in back-to-back weeks for him. Let's see, who else do we have? We have my man Ahmad Diallo is on the list. We've been singing his praises, and he gives you some returns after a couple off weeks for my squad.
He's a bright spot.
Yeah. And then the other two are a couple of forwards whose form is bouncing back after a bit of a cold spell. That's João Pedro and Raul Jimenez. If you listened to us a couple weeks ago when we were in on the Fulham guys and picking up Raul Jimenez, then you're enjoying yourself because he has three goals in the last two games. And Brighton played really well against Arsenal, or at least I thought so.
Yeah.
João Pedro gives you some returns again after
two weeks in a row.
I don't think he scored for a while. He didn't score for seven straight games?
Everyone picked him up, and then he went on to not get any goals until the last 2 weeks.
He did have two assists last week.
He had 9 points the last 2 weeks.
I mean,
so.
FPL is the year of PKs right now.
That's right, baby.
Yeah. It's like...
But now Brighton and Fulham schedules both make a turn for the better over the next couple weeks. So both those guys makes a lot of sense that they're getting transferred in. The outs, not a lot of surprises here. James Maddison, Luis Diaz continue to get moved out along with Matheus Cunha. Wolves' schedule still pretty brutal right now. Another one of our favorites, Enzo Fernandez, getting transferred out.
Man, I was hype on Enzo, and I still think he's good.
That goes hand in hand with Chelsea. It's not necessarily him.
He'll get returns.
Yeah,
he'll get returns.
Alex Iwobi, Ollie Watkins, Trent Alexander-Arnold on the list after a down game against United for him. We talked about Ollie Watkins pretty extensively last week. Trent, I have him. I don't have a ton of concerns about Trent. You know, he has his defensive issues, but he's on set pieces. He's been really good so far. So it's only 86,000 people. So
yeah.
But the number one transferred out player this week is a guy that Phil and I want to talk about a little bit more, and that is Nico Jackson.
Yeah, Nicky J. If you've watched most of our episodes, I've probably referred to him as my boy Nicky J. been extremely high on him, but I think, what is it, one return in like the last eight games or something like that?
One goal in his last seven.
Struggle bus is real. One goal in the last seven.
And again, we mentioned Chelsea. They've been struggling too. You know, like the moment they were in that title race, they had a chance to get within one game of Liverpool. Have they won since? They have tied and lost.
No, they beat Brentford December 15th. They beat Brentford.
Okay.
Yeah.
They beat Chelsea, or I'm sorry, Tottenham, and they beat Southampton. But
since then, they've tied Everton, lost to Fulham, lost to Ipswich, tied Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
So they're struggling as a team. Enzo affected, Nicholas Jackson affected. But at this point in the FPL season, I'm not saying get rid of him, but I don't know what to do with Nicky J because he's 8.1 million. Chelsea's not playing well. Sure, they could turn it around. He's not playing well. On the flip side, if you just watch the games or look at his stats, he's getting chances. He's getting shots in the box.
I was just going to say that.
And I compare him to like Wood, Cunha. I know Mboum was a midfielder, but all these guys who have produced double or triple the goals of their expected goals or their like big chances. Yeah. And Nicholas Jackson has higher expected goals, big chances, shots in the box, shots on target than all of them, but he's not scoring. So it's like, at what point do you just trust the stats and what you're seeing on the TV versus saying, well, the stats can do whatever, he can play however he wants, but he's not scoring. I'm going to swap him for someone like Wood who gets one shot, one goal. And I just don't know what way to go because I could drop him or we could drop him and he could score a hat trick next game.
Yeah. What about this though, right? Think about it like this. Would you drop, I think we talked about this, Semenyo and Eze. Would you guys drop both of those players?
Would I drop them?
If you had them on your team right now, let's just, in a hypothetical world, do you want to keep those two on your team? Okay, I want Eze. Do you want either of them on your team?
Semenyo, I don't mind Eze.
Eze is like for my wild card. I'm trying to help you answer the question here. Semenyo,
both of those guys produce a lot of shots and they do not get a lot of returns.
But I think the thing with Nicholas Jackson is price point. Like at 5.7 million, right,
it's not a perfect example.
Yeah, it's not. But I get what you're saying. It's just he's in that price range where he's not too expensive, but he's obviously 8.1 where he can get a much better option than him right now. But again, his play and the stats completely go against dropping him outside of him just not scoring a freaking goal or getting an assist. And that's what I can't wrap my head around it. I don't even know what to do.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do because I have him. I'm going to keep him.
Yeah.
I already have Isak. So like if you have Jackson, you need to get Isak on your team and you got to drop Jackson to do that. Fine. If you want to drop Jackson to get Chris Wood, I'm not going to tell you not to do that. Same with Johan Wiese, who keeps on scoring.
I love you.
But since I believe game week 14 is when his little cold spell has started here, he still has 2.5 expected goals. He's second in total shots among forward. He has 17 shots in the box. Like you said, that game against Palace, he should have probably scored at least twice.
Yeah.
He had two glorious chances. So he's still young. Like the finishing is probably going to come and go with him, and I feel like Jackson's form is kind of going to go with like Chelsea's form in general. And they're still a youngish team that's still figuring out what they are. And like Maresca said, they're probably not ready to contend for a title. So maybe it's natural for them to have some ups and downs like this. There's also nobody like really to take his spot. Like I know they started, I think, in Cuckoo one game at center forward. That didn't really work.
It didn't work at all.
But yeah, I'm going to hold him. The underlying numbers are still fine. He's getting chances, like you said. So
I like that.
I'm going to stick with him.
You've convinced me.
All right, that's fair.
You should drop him, though, so I can catch
him. I'm on the opposite end of that. I know it's not a perfect comparison, but when I see a guy like Semenyo, who has the most shots in all of FPL but can't score a goal, I start to get worried. Same with Eze, right? I know those guys are cheaper, so it's a different conversation. And, you know, they're obviously mids. They're not forwards, but I have been a believer this year, and when I see a guy putting all the shots on net, Madueke, another one, getting no return, I move off him. Not to say that I wouldn't move back to a Nicholas Jackson, but I'm not loving it right now for that whole team. The only reason I like Palmer on my team is because he's on PKs, right? Yeah,
fair.
Obviously, you're a PK merchant over there.
You have to. I mean, you said it. It's a season of PKs right now. Like Palmer, Salah's doing Salah things, but a lot of PKs this season from Salah. Right. Like, so
goals are coming for Eberechi Eze. Buy him.
Yeah.
Except you guys don't buy him.
I'm not buying him. All right. Next player. Dave, do you wanna hit on someone? I know you wanted to talk about, I think, a Liverpool cat. No? No.
No, I do.
Yeah, I definitely do. You do. That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
I want to talk about Cody Gakpo.
Yeah, there we go.
Scored a pretty sweet goal against my team.
He's sweet.
He's cool.
So he has started every game but one, I believe, since game week 10. And like I was on Jota early in the season because he was starting at center forward every game, but then he got hurt. And so like since then, none of like the forward options for Liverpool have really been that great. Like you weren't playing Darwin Nunez really. But Gakpo, it looks like he might be like claiming that second spot in the front three, like as a regular spot in the starting 11. He's also kind of on fire. He's got 4 goals in 5 games. And so since game week 10, which is when he started starting every game, basically, he's got the same amount of points as Chris Wood. He's got 19 shots in the box, 12 of them on target. He is outperforming his expected goals, and he's got 6 goals on 3.8 expected goals. So there's an overperformance there. But his expected goals per 90, he is tied for 7th amongst all forwards since then, which is right behind Wiesa and tied with Vardy and Solanke. So his numbers are there with the guys that are largely – that are owned a lot more than him. I don't know if I think he's like an immediate add, but I'm definitely going to keep monitoring him, partially because there's a lot of good options at forward right now, which all the guys we mentioned like all the time, Isak, João Pedro, Wood, Wiesa, Raul Jimenez. So if you have those guys, like I don't think you feel like you need to go get Cody Gakpo. But if you have like Nico Jackson, Cunha, Ollie Watkins, and you need a differential, maybe Gakpo is that option. But the most interesting part of it to me is if he is going to start consistently, like I feel like you definitely want a piece of the Liverpool attack.
Yeah.
Because you know the way Salah's going right now, I feel like they're gonna generate chances a lot.
I mean, this is the Gakpo that Liverpool paid up for after the World Cup. We haven't seen it, I don't think, since the World Cup. And this is the guy I think they want. He's still young, right? What is he, probably in his early 20s?
I think so, yeah.
So... you know,
25.
25, so mid-20s.
I thought he was a couple years younger than
that. So did I. But yeah, this is the guy that Liverpool was hoping to get when they paid that money for him. So maybe he will continue.
Just one note on, I think he could be called a Gakpo, Charnley, Dumbo, or whatever. Whoever's a second option for Liverpool is someone you probably want to have.
Yes.
Yeah. So like if Luis Diaz played consistently, I mean, we talked about it. Who is going to be Liverpool's second option? We told people not to pick up anyone a few weeks ago because it was just like on rotation. But if he becomes that second person, I don't see a world where he doesn't become one of the more owned players, because outside of being on set pieces, he's going to have some of the most chances out there, because Liverpool's the best team in the world.
Right? And that could still happen. Like they could go right back to rotating.
Yeah.
You know, that's why for me, I'm monitoring. Like they also play on January 14th and 18th. So like, there's going to be some rotation there.
Yeah.
But like you said, like unless Salah's going to score 40 goals, which he might, they're going to need another guy to provide some consistent goals, because they've been this good without that so far.
Yeah.
So maybe that becomes Cody Gakpo.
You know, Salah's actually on pace to tie Haaland's record, 36 goals right now.
Oh, I know.
So that would be pretty wild. We'll see if that happens, but... that I saw that stat and I was like, wait, what? So, gosh darn. I didn't think anyone was going to be beating that, let alone, 2 years later? So, be pretty crazy. All right, on to who I want to talk about. Savinho for Manchester City.
Just kidding. He's been popping off.
I think there's always an itch in the back of everyone's FPL mind telling them, you know, it's Man City, right? They've been having a bad season. They haven't looked good, but in your mind, you're like, City, though, and Pep's kind of Pep. Like, they got to turn it around, right? I feel like everyone's saying that to themselves. Everyone's waiting for that turnaround where they're just going to turn back into the Manchester City we've known. If you look at the last 3 games, you'll see a bit of that resurgence. They haven't played great competition. but they also haven't lost any of those games. The question becomes, if I'm looking to get a City player outside of Haaland, because price tag there, also we know who he is, let's talk players outside of him, who am I looking for? For me, I think it's, if I'm picking one, it's going to be Savinho right now. Minutes concern me, as they do with all of those players. Same thing with De Bruyne. Yep. Same thing with Foden. No one can get a read on what Pep's doing. He's being very erratic with how he's playing. Partly UCL. Partly he's still trying to figure out life after Rodri.
I think he's just trying to figure out who's going to play right. Well.
Exactly. So it's a worry, right? It's a worry. But in the last three games, he has only missed, or he's been out of the lineup for only 11 minutes. And again, they haven't lost any of those games. This is the best run they've had since the start of the season. In that same time frame, he is the second highest scoring midfielder with 30 points. That's two behind Salah, who has 32. He has one goal. He has 11 shots, five of those on target. He has four assists on seven attempted. And his expected involvement's 2.85, which is only behind Salah. And he's 7 points above his XFPL in these three games, right? So... Oh, plus the price tag, right? He's 6.4 million. The guy right behind him, point wise, is Mbeumo, 7.7 million, right? So he's got a nice price tag as well. You know, all of that to say that I think he's locked up a midfield spot. I don't know if it's the left outside or the right outside, but it feels like he's probably locked in a spot for the time being. I don't know. What do you guys think? We're hypotheticals, I mean, here, but he's played the last three, both those spots. He's been producing. It feels like he kind of has that spot, one of those spots, I should say.
I mean, if you're Pep and you don't give him one of those spots, whether he starts on the left or right, like, I don't know. Who's he going to start over him? Jack Grealish hasn't really played that well.
Doku. Yeah, those are the two guys that against.
Bernardo hurt Silva.
No, he played 90 minutes last game. But
I didn't watch a City game.
But like, I feel like you said, they stopped losing. They finally won a couple games.
That helps.
And all three of those games, Savio started. So,
yep.
Like, I feel like he's got to go. He's got to keep going back to him.
Right.
You know.
And you know, I love the idea of the guy he's feeding the ball to as well. Yeah. Right. When you have Haaland up front, you kind of love that. Three of his four assists have been to Haaland.
Yeah.
Right. So. That's also very tempting because you want to find the guy on the team who's going to get the ball to Haaland. That's what you're looking for if you're not taking Haaland. You want the guy who's getting him the ball. Yeah. So assuming he's locked up that position, I think there is real value at that price point. City bought him from Girona last year, and we all remember Girona's season, only to be outdone by my boys Leverkusen having a slightly better season, but... Girona was unreal last year. It was the best season they've ever had, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
You would know that.
Fun fact about Girona, summer camp before the season, the Girona coach saw him train once, Savinho, and said, we're going to make the Champions League this year.
Bang.
And they proceeded to have the best year.
So in that season last year, he had 9 goals. He had 10 assists in 37 games playing at the moment. He has played – last year he had played 3 times the minutes he's played so far. So, you know, if you were to just hypothetically break that out, he's currently got 6 assists. So he'd be on pace for 18 without a guy like Haaland on his team.
Yeah.
Point is, there's a lot of opportunity for him to get assists if he starts playing consistent minutes and the team starts turning it around. Now, if you want to use a transfer on him, I would say he's a 2 to 3 week rental.
Yep.
Yeah, we just talked about that. So they get Brentford, Ipswich, Chelsea, which frankly isn't even that good of a schedule.
It's fine.
But
they get Chelsea at home.
It's good enough. It's good enough. So if you're going to use a transfer, which very important, right, probably a rental. So because after that they get Arsenal, Newcastle, Liverpool, Spurs, and then Nottingham Forest. But after that, you're going to see the City players probably getting bought up because their schedule gets – very, very easy after that. If you're someone who's wildcarding and you can afford to leave him on the bench, maybe you do that and you check out how he's doing the next couple weeks. I wouldn't transfer for him right now, but keep your eyes out. Week 27 comes around. Might be the time to get in on that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I know Brentford has a couple tough matchups.
Yeah.
So I know some people are moving off Mbeumo or even Wisa for a few weeks. So you could even move off Mbeumo against City and Liverpool, and then for Sav, and then bring him back in.
Yep. So that's my guy. Not like a bust, not a must buy or anything, but a very interesting midfield option as Man City looks to be turning it around.
Way to bring valuable content to the table.
That's all I do, baby.
Good job.
That's all I do, baby.
Is he taking your spot as like the content provider?
The best looking? He
picked a City guy, so no.
No.
I thought you were going to say the best looking, but it's fine. It's no big deal.
No, that's always Dave. It's fine. He has a voice to go with it.
Silver Fox.
Fox, buttery smooth voice.
All right, Phil. What do you got for us?
I mean, this one's an obvious one, but I just want to wrap up with Newcastle. Right now, it wouldn't be crazy to have three assets, Hall, Gordon, and Isak. They are probably – I'd probably pick them over Forest right now, even though Forest is on a great run if they went head-to-head.
Newcastle's a scarier offense, I think.
Yeah, so Forest. I would say they're probably the second-best team in the EPL right now, and they're fun to watch. They're structured. I mean, we talked about them at the beginning of the season and said right now they just look absolutely atrocious.
Yeah.
But they have the players to turn it around, and they turned it around. So they have a great run of fixtures. Then they have a couple tough games with Liverpool, Forest, and City back to back to back. But then you basically have the rest of the season without hard games. So honestly, having Hall, Gordon, and Isak, Gordon and Isak could be a lock for the rest of the season. And Hall, maybe you have him on rotation. He's a cheaper asset to have. So, you know, against City or Liverpool, you just swap him out for a Kirkes, Robinson, Munoz, whoever else you have on your back line there. Play a 3-5-2 for a week or whatever. But I don't think it would be crazy to have those three assets at this moment. At least two of them, you should have two.
I have two.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. He also falls in that area, that price point for midfielders that is kind of awkward right now.
Gordon?
He's, what, 7.5?
Yep.
So, like, all the people around him, like we talked about, and Mbeumo is really the only guy in that price range in the sevens who is worth it. Mm-hmm. And, like we said, he plays City and Liverpool the next two games. Like, Luis Diaz, James Maddison, people are moving off of them.
Bowen
is hurt. Diogo Jota, minutes are consistent. Then you go down to like Martinelli, Trossard, and the Arsenal guys. So like he's pretty much, if you have like 7.5 million left, like he's the only option. Or if like Phil said, you want to jump off of Mbeumo for the next couple games.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense to make that switch.
Honestly, 90 minutes is kind of like a rarity right now with some of these midfielders. Like finding a guy who can produce and also is playing 90 minutes is becoming harder. Like when you say Madison's up there, I mean, he came in, him and Son both came in with like 15 minutes left in their game this weekend. Luis Diaz obviously doesn't get a full 90 most of the time. It's hard to find a good
minimum
midfielder.
You want the 60 minutes. Like,
And you don't even know if you're getting it with some of those. Luis Diaz, Madison, Son, I don't know if you're getting it with any of those guys. De Bruyne, I don't know if you're getting it with him. It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be even tougher, too, because, like, this next game week starts midweek. Yep. So this feeling is only going to continue because, like, there's definitely going to be some squad rotation over these next two games. So it's going to make judging playing time.
Is it crazy to think that you could have three Newcastle? And we forgot about Murphy, your call out. Murphy, if you don't have the money, you want a differential pick. Murphy's probably
dangerous,
one of the top op.
Still cooking.
Because they get the ball in the tag in third every other second.
He crosses that ball in. And when he crosses the ball in, it's dangerous.
They're
dangerous crosses.
But what I was going to say before I remembered that was you could have three or four Newcastle guys and three or four Forest guys.
Well, wild. Well, three. Because you can't have
four. You should have two Forest guys.
Yeah.
You should probably like...
I forgot that because it's probably...
In reality, you probably should have...
Thanks, man.
Two Forest players and two Newcastle players. Like, in reality, that you should probably have a Chris Wood and a Sells. You should probably have one of Hall, Isak, or two of Hall, Isak, and Gordon. Like, those...
Well, you're forgetting about Aina, too.
Yeah, if you want Aina.
Any defender.
Like,
Lankovic, Murillo.
Point being is, like, it would... it makes more sense to have those players than it does not than it than to not have them.
Forest does have a couple crappy fixtures, I'm pretty sure.
They play Liverpool, but then they play Southampton, Bournemouth, Brighton, Fulham.
Yeah.
So
I guess it was just a Liverpool.
If you're someone out there who would have bet on that at the start of the season, talk to us. We might give you a spot on this show.
We'll fly out to Vegas.
My goodness.
Forest has 4 straight clean sheets.
It's wild.
So
6 wins.
Yeah, they'll get their off game out against Liverpool, and then they'll get right back on the clean sheet train until against Southampton.
Is it home or away against Liverpool?
They're at home.
I mean, yeah, never know. That seems like a sales type of game. He's about to get 1,000.
I might bench Salah.
Please,
we'll talk about that.
There's no point.
We'll talk about that.
I'll pay you money to bench him.
All right. Any last words on that?
No, that was just. No. Yeah,
no all right.
Stuff.
Moving on to
fun stuff from my the last Fireside guy here. Faithful.
And anyone out there, if I mispronounce this and you can tell me how to do it, please do.
Didn't you practice before?
I tried practicing and I even looked it up and the internet was not helpful. So the guy I'm talking about is Dean Huijsen. Not Huijsen sauce, like the soy sauce, but you know, the player. Isn't that what it's called? Huijsen?
Idiot.
Huijsen sauce?
I don't know.
Probably.
Dean Huijsen, that's how I'm pronouncing it. Tell me if I'm wrong. So he is the highest scoring defender over the past 4 game weeks at a crazy cheap $4.4 million price tag. He has 31 points in that time. He's tied for 4th overall for all FPL players. Bournemouth looks very good right now. They're sitting in 7th right behind City. They are unbeaten in their last 8 games. And I asked you this question, Dave, before we started. And again, another question, if anyone can correct me on this one, but I was watching the broadcast, and I swear on my life, the announcer said, this is the first time in Bournemouth's history they've gone 8 unbeaten in a season.
Wouldn't that make it 9? With the,
no,
this
that, I think that was 8. That
okay, because I heard it last week.
Yeah, so maybe they had to beat every week, I think like they're continuing, yeah. Right? So that's a wild stat to me, but that's how good they are right now. They're on a great run. The main reason you haven't really seen this guy on your radar, or a lot of people haven't talked about him, is because he was not a starter until Marcus Senesi got sidelined with a quad injury that turned into a surgery. So since becoming the full-time starter week 14, Bournemouth has yet to lose. We just talked about it. They have 4 shutouts in 7 games.
Damn.
That he started. He has 50 points in that time span, which makes him the 5th highest points getter overall, and the number one defender. He has 2 goals, 3 shots on net, 5 total shots. He has 0 assists, but he has 5 attempted assists as a center back.
We like attempts. Right? He's trying.
He's a center back. 5 attempted assists at center back.
Well, I wonder what counts as an attempted assist.
1, it's a fair point.
He's just clearing the ball.
He's just kicking it over the back line and someone's chasing it.
He hoops it up to Semenyo, and then
and
he
lets
does
him run.
Thing.
He shot to misses.
God, imagine if Semenyo would score. This guy would be amazing.
Well, now that Evan Nelson's hurt.
His expected involvement in that time period is 1.36. Decent, not amazing, but 41 expected FPL points. He's at 50, so he's 9 over, which is pretty good. So all that sounds amazing, right? Those are all reasons to say, let me go get this guy now. Also, 3.7% owned differential pick, if you're looking at it. But
the big but.
I'm going to warn anyone out there.
Do you know what they say?
What?
Everything that comes before the but, don't listen to it.
Who says that?
Apparently, it's like an old proverb or saying.
I don't believe you.
Anyway, but.
I don't believe you.
Google it.
No. But I would warn anyone thinking about using a transfer. His next 4 games are brutal. Chelsea away, Newcastle away, Forest home, Liverpool home. I will not be picking him up unless you're wildcarding and you're willing to pick him up and just sit him on the bench for a few weeks. As a transfer, I'm not going to waste my transfer to put him on my bench for 4 weeks. So if you are wildcarding, store him, because in weeks 25 to 27, they get Southampton, Wolves, and Brighton, and that's a time I'm going to want him. Now, like I said, keep your eye on him. He's a defender I'm most interested in on a really good-looking team right now. But in the first half of the season, we just talked about that schedule they have coming up. They lost to Chelsea. They lost to Liverpool. They tied Newcastle, and they tied Forest. None of those games ended in a shutout. And the only reason you really want this guy is that shutout potential. So it's another reason to say that these next 4 weeks, maybe they're a different team right now. Yeah. Maybe they turn it around. But I don't want to take the risk and have him on my bench. But I'm definitely he's definitely one that I'm watching right now, depending on Bournemouth's play. So
it's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, two guys that are watchers, but not necessarily pickups right now.
To tie our guys together, that easy stretch for them after the Hardwin overlaps or goes hand in hand with Newcastle's easy to hard stretch. So you could go from Hull to him,
exactly,
and then back for, obviously, there's a small price differential. But hey, if you want to win your league, do that.
I think Hall's more expensive though, right?
By three or four.
The point being is it's an easy one-two switch. You don't have to have any extra money left over.
Yeah, Bournemouth does concede a lot of shots too. I think they're fifth or sixth.
Yeah, so. I mean it's an interesting one. It's someone that not many people are looking at. So, all right, cool. So we're done with that. Do we want to talk real quick? I just wanted to mention something. You guys can kind of tell me your thoughts here. Talk about captain options for this week.
El Capitano.
So sure. The three top options, I think everyone can agree, are going to be Salah, Palmer, Isak, right? Those are the three guys that if you have them, you're looking to captain them. But here's the thing. Salah has a matchup against Forest this week. Palmer has a matchup against Bournemouth this week. We just talked about two of the hottest defenses in the EPL. If you want to captain them. Like, I'm not going to tell you not to captain Salah no matter who they're playing. But Isak's probably the best option there. But I want to throw out a fourth option. A fourth option if you're trying to be very different this week.
I could say like Haaland.
You must be a mind reader.
Are you going to say Haaland?
I'm going to say Haaland. So listen to this. He's obviously bouncing back. We just talked about it. He's scoring. The team's looking good. In his career, he's played Brentford four times. He has three goals. And in one of those games, he didn't play a full game. So we're talking almost a goal a game against Brentford. Do I think Haaland can get a goal against Brentford? Absolutely, I think he can get a goal against Brentford. Now, again, I'm not telling you to skip over the big dogs, but if you're trying to beat some of your friends, like Dave is trying to beat us, and you got Haaland on your team, I'm just saying. You heard it here first. You heard it here first.
I'm going crazy this week. I'm going Bruno Fernandes against Southampton at home.
Why?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Can you give us a reason why? You're captaining Bruno this week, you're saying? Tell the people why. Give us some reasons there.
Southampton at home.
Okay.
United just tied Liverpool. Bruno looked absolutely amazing. His control under pressure the last 20 minutes, I haven't seen that since like Modric against Betis back in 2017.
Like an obscure reference quarterly out here.
I mean, it's like, if you're Bruno, you're happy with that comparison. But I think United owes their fans something good at home. They're playing against the worst team in the EPL, and he's on set pieces. He's minimum going to get two assists. Might get a goal in there.
Minimum.
Do not underestimate our ability to underwhelm.
You're assuming two goals from Man U. Okay.
Three returns for Brunito.
Brunito.
And we get 1,000 likes on our video.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we obviously, like we said, everyone knows the three big dogs. We're trying to be a little different, give you maybe a different option. So there you go.
And my vice, captain's going to be Mazraoui.
Just kidding.
Doesn't really matter.
All right. Cool. I think that's it. I think we are wrapped up here. Did you have someone you wanted to talk about?
Oh, I'm going
to
captain Isak.
Yeah, but I said I don't think Dave's going out of the box here. All right, so we'll be back here, same time, same place, next week, looking back at Game Week 21, looking forward to Game Week 22. Make sure to subscribe, comment, like the video. It's all
free.
Follow
our socials.
It's free, and it really helps us out. We really appreciate it. Check us out on Instagram and X, like Phil just said.
Twitter.
We put out some extra FPL news and fun posts, so check that out. And with that...
Wait, stay tuned for a wild card episode. Tokens can activate it.
Yeah, tokens. Good point.
Just stay tuned. We're not telling you when we're dropping it, but stay tuned.
Yeah, we have a wild. We talked about it last week. We have a wild card episode coming your way. So get ready for
that. Fun.
We're gonna give you
makes you rub your tum tum tum.
That's just you, dude.
I do that too sometimes, but no one's looking.
Just kidding. Sorry, I interrupted once again.
It's okay. No, let the people know. Yeah, we have another episode coming out, so keep your eyes open. Hopefully, we can give you some juicy information. And now with that,
see ya.
See ya. Bye.